We'll be in Genesis chapter 40, and we'll be in the entire chapter this evening. So Genesis chapter 40. Hear now from God's word. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison. Each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do this kindness to mention me to Pharaoh. And so get me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream, and there were 3 cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come to your word this evening, would you help us to be strengthened in our faith that you are the God who governs all circumstances. You are the God who gives interpretation to dreams. You are the God who places the dreams in the heads of these men, places these men in this cell, and you govern all things for the good of those whom you have called, for those whom you have loved, for your purposes. Lord, make us a people that trust your purposes and see you as the sovereign of the universe. Would you bless me as I preach this evening, and would you strengthen your people by your word? In Christ we pray. Amen. So as we come to the text this evening, we've just sung "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," So I'm not going to wait till the end of the sermon to talk about Jesus. Instead, while that hymn is fresh on our mind, all hail the power of Jesus' name. We sang of an exalted Jesus just now. We said, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall before the Lord. The Lord who himself was imprisoned falsely, like Joseph in the text this evening. Joseph, if we keep reading in Genesis, we'll see Joseph also exalted. We will see Joseph taken from the prison. But in our text this evening, he is forgotten. He is left in the cell. But we just sang, all hail the power of Jesus' name. What a reminder that the Lord's purposes extend past present circumstances. This morning's sermon, last week's sermon, we've been in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work for the good of those whom God loves, those whom he has called. And this text this evening is, it feels like an extension of those sermons. In the Lord's providence, that's the way it has fallen. We did not orchestrate this, but the Lord's word is very consistent, isn't it? Isn't it interesting how often we see texts align? The Lord is sovereign. He is sovereign over his scriptures. He is sovereign over these sermons this morning and this evening. So my hope this evening is that we won't deviate very far from this morning's text, that we will reinforce what we meditated upon this morning, and that we will see that nothing is wasted by the Lord. I think the most potent quote from this morning's sermon for me was that there's no, I may be butchering it, Adam, I apologize, but none of your pain is wasted. Something along those lines, if not that exact phrase. No pain is wasted. The Lord is purposeful. The Lord is precise. The Lord is sovereign. So as we read this text, it is continuing with Joseph in prison. Last month, we were in Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis 39, the Lord is more prominent in that chapter than he had been in the Joseph narrative. The name Yahweh pops up several times. That's fairly unique in this section of scripture for it to be that obvious. And that's drawing your attention. The Lord is with Joseph in prison. The theme of chapter 40 is more of the Lord's governance of the circumstances while Joseph is in prison. And so what happens? We see that Joseph is still in the prison, but he has been granted some authority in the prison, just like in Potiphar's house. The Potiphar could trust him. And in chapter 39, we see the same thing was true when Joseph is falsely accused and he's thrown into prison. What happens? He's trustworthy. The Lord is blessing him. He is a righteous man, and also the Lord is blessing him. And so that the guard can give basically all of his responsibilities over to Joseph and feel at ease. He doesn't have to worry about anything because Joseph's there taking care of things. And so here we begin the chapter, and we have a providential imprisonment. It's the first thing that we're going to see, that Pharaoh sends two of his high-ranking officials to prison. They land specifically in Joseph's care. And this is the providence of the Lord. This isn't just Pharaoh sending these men there on a whim, but this is the Lord's doing that these two men would be there. And they land specifically in Joseph's care. Joseph is assigned to attend them. And so the pattern of favor repeats. Even as Joseph is in the pit, we see that Joseph is still favored. We see the favor of God upon him, just as his father's favor was upon him and his family. And we have these little tokens to remind us and to remind Joseph that God has not forgotten him. He's been in the pit, literally, the pit that his brothers threw him in. And in our chapter this evening, he refers to it as the pit. Once again, the same word popping up. His brothers threw him into the pit, and now he's been thrown into the pit once again in Egypt. Yet God has been with him all along the way, and we have all these tokens to remind us of that. We're going through Philippians on Wednesday mornings. We have a Wednesday morning Bible study, and we're studying Philippians right now. And in Philippians, Paul reminds the church that, I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened to me has really happened to serve the gospel. And that what has happened to me is spreading to the region, it's spreading to all of the guards, everyone is hearing the gospel. People are being emboldened by my imprisonment to preach the gospel. So that was Paul's perspective in the prison. What has happened has really happened to advance the gospel. And this evening, what has happened to Joseph has really happened to advance the Lord's redemptive purposes. God will position Joseph in a place to save his people. And so this, every step along the way, is the Lord's providence. So just as Paul can say in confidence that the Lord is working, so can Joseph. God is using his servant's imprisonment as an instrument for his purpose. Surely an instrument that Joseph would not have chosen as his first option, imprisonment. That's not the way you want to be used by the Lord. Yet, there's a willingness by Paul, and we have to assume for Joseph, because it doesn't tell us all of these things. We don't know all of the details with Joseph. We know he doesn't want to be in prison. We know he asked the cupbearer, remember me when you get out, because he wants to get out of there. He doesn't want to be in there. But nonetheless, God is using his servant there, though he sits in an earthly prison. It's not an earthly power that keeps him there, but it's a sovereign God who's sovereign over the situation and has kept him there. And so we have the providence of the Lord. God is governing the circumstances, even though they seem grim. Those well-meaning Christians that may say, well, God doesn't want this for you. God did want this for Joseph. God did want him in the prison, and he kept him there as long as he wanted him there. It was not by chance, and it was not a display of God's power. It was not a display of Pharaoh's power over his cupbearer, or of Pharaoh's power over the baker that we see here. But it's God. He's working providence here, and we'll see that as we continue in the text. And God is going to use his servant, Joseph. And though he sits in the prison of an earthly power, we see that Joseph yields to the power of God. And it is God who sovereignly governs that situation. So we have the providential imprisonment where God governs the circumstances. We also have the divine who is over the dreams. God is over dreams. God governs revelation. So these men, these Egyptian men, have no interpreters for their dreams. First, you should note that they both dreamed a dream on the same night. That's not a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence that their dreams parallel one another, but this is given to them by God. These men have no interpreter. In Egyptian culture, you would have looked for a specialist to interpret your dreams, and that would have been maybe that person's livelihood. Where that you would come to them, you would tell them your dreams, and then you would just trust the words of these men. But Joseph, upon hearing that these men were troubled, note the care even of Joseph for these men. He says, you seem troubled today. What happened? What happened? You're different today than you were yesterday. And the men say, well, we had these bizarre dreams last night, and there's nobody here to help us. And what is Joseph's response to them? But Joseph says, well, don't all dreams belong to God? Tell me. I know God. Maybe I can help in this situation. And so Joseph has the men tell him the dreams, but he doesn't say that I am a great interpreter of dreams, does he? He doesn't say, I have a history of dreams. I'm pretty good with dreams. No, he says, don't all dreams belong to God? The same God who has governed his circumstances, the same God who has allowed him to be in prison, the same God surely he has been crying out to deliver him from prison. But he still says, don't all dreams belong to God? Do we reverence God that way? That when we are in bad circumstances, we can still say he's the sovereign of the creation. He is over all things. He rules all things. He knows all revelation. Nothing catches him off guard. Even my abysmal circumstances, even though I've done nothing wrong and I have been thrown into a pit over and over again, God still reigns. Joseph knows this, and he confidently tells these men of Pharaoh's court, don't all dreams belong to God? God is the giver of revelation. So the God of this Hebrew prisoner is the one who will govern Pharaoh's court. The God of this Hebrew prisoner is the one who can tell these men of Pharaoh's court what they have dreamed. They are helpless. They have no idea what they have dreamed. There is no one who can tell them what they have dreamed but this servant of God. Revelation belongs to God. The dream and its interpretation belong to him alone. And so Joseph delivers messages to both of these men. Note how the second man waits to give his dream until he hears the good report. And then he says, oh, I had a dream as well. Expecting to get a good report as the first man did. But Joseph is faithful with both men. He has two men, parallel but very different dreams. One man, Joseph is able to give good news to. He's able to say, you're going to be restored. Pharaoh will lift your head and it will be good. But Joseph is also faithful to the other man. And he says, Pharaoh will lift your head, but it will not be good. You will be executed and your flesh will be eaten. That's a bad report. Especially to an Egyptian who would embalm their flesh. Their flesh meant a lot in the afterlife to them. And he just said, you're going to die shamefully. You're going to die very shamefully. He had about the worst news he could give the man. Yet he doesn't try to earn favor with him. He wants out of prison. He's a prisoner. This guy could potentially earn favor for him. But he doesn't do this man any favors except for telling him the truth. That's a favor. But he doesn't try to earn favor with the man. He doesn't try to manipulate him. He simply tells him the truth. And that is how we must be as well. If we are going to be faithful shepherds of God's word, we have to give the good with the bad. Joseph doesn't devise any cunning in this situation either. He's just honest. He's honest with these men across the board, and he's bold across the board. So we see this righteousness in Joseph here. And when he gives the cupbearer, the good report, he says, do me this favor, do this kindness, do this steadfast love for me. It's the same word used of the Lord in the previous chapter. Do this steadfast love to me, this steadfast kindness to me, and remember me when you get out. You see, I was a young man, a Hebrew, with my Hebrew family out there, and I was betrayed, and I was sold into slavery. And then, as a servant, I was falsely accused, and I was put in this prison. Please tell Pharaoh about me when you get out. I've done nothing wrong. Now, everybody in prison's innocent, right? That's probably, everybody's in there trying to spin a story, but we see that Joseph has been honest across the board. He's actually telling the truth. He really was falsely accused, and he really does have every reason to be released by Pharaoh. It's a very humble request he's making. Remember me when you get out. Joseph has served faithfully. And he states his innocence to this man, and he asks for nothing more than to simply be remembered. But then when we get to the end of the chapter, we see that that is not what happens at all. But just as Joseph said on Pharaoh's birthday, as he is making a feast for all of his servants, the cupbearer and the baker will be released. and the cupbearer will be restored just as Joseph told him. And the baker will be executed just as Joseph said. But the cupbearer would not remember Joseph, but he forgets Joseph. So the last thing we're going to consider this evening is the forgotten faithful. Joseph has been faithful in all of this, yet he is forgotten. And if we were to read on in chapter 41, we would see that it's going to be 2 years before he is remembered. Joseph, when he is first betrayed by his brothers, he's about 17 years old. At this point, he's 28 years old when he is interpreting these dreams. That's 11 years between being sold out, made a slave, being a prisoner, and then 2 more years he'll have to serve in prison before he's remembered. It's a long time. So Joseph, he's the forgotten faithful in jail. So both verdicts had passed exactly as God had said through Joseph. And that was further evidence that God really was with Joseph. The things he said came true. The dreams really did belong to God. God was with him, and he gave true interpretation. And though Joseph had asked that the cupbearer would show him that steadfast love, the cupbearer forgets. Man is fallible. Our steadfast love is conditional and not so steadfast. He asked for steadfast love, but the man is quick to forget. Yet the Lord showed Joseph steadfast love in prison. We're told that in chapter 39. The Lord had shown Joseph steadfast love. Yet he's in prison. Think about that for a moment. When you're praying for the Lord to show you kindness, to be with you, he might just be with you in the midst of suffering. Joseph didn't want to be in the pit. The Lord did not immediately deliver him from the pit. He'll be in the pit for over a decade. Yet the steadfast Lord was with him every year of that. The Lord was blessing him in that, reminding him that he was with him. That is the steadfast love of the Lord, giving those reminders in the midst of hardship, those little reminders to give him hope, to remind him, you are with me, Lord. Lord, if you weren't with me, how in the world would this Hebrew nobody be put in these positions every step of the way? Nonetheless, Joseph is met with hardship. Nonetheless, Joseph is not where he wants to be. But the steadfast Lord is with him. Consider Christ. Christ, as he serves and does things that his flesh would not want to do. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Christ says that as he walks into a prison, as he walks into an execution. Not my will, but your will be done. Joseph had done everything right. He served faithfully, he spoke truthfully, and he asked humbly that he would not be forgotten, yet he was forgotten. And then 2 years will pass. The cupbearer will eventually remember. We didn't read that this evening, but the cupbearer will remember exactly when God intends the cupbearer to remember. Exactly when the Lord will put Joseph where he needs to be, when he needs to be, so that the Lord can do what he intends to do through Joseph. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. The Lord is working all things together for good here. Joseph is still in prison because it's not time yet. But it will be time. And that's another sermon. But it will be time later. So Joseph is in prison. He's been faithful, forgotten, still waiting. Joseph would not be able to see the end at this point. So all he's able to do is wait. And he must trust that the Lord is sovereign over all of his circumstances. Joseph's imprisonment was purposeful. And at this juncture, God is not arranging Joseph's release. What is God arranging for Joseph? As we'll see later in the book of Genesis, he's arranging a seat on a throne for Joseph. It's not simply a release. The things that we pray for, the things that we ask, are often much shorter than what God intends. Both in duration, we want things immediate, and God doesn't necessarily give you things when you ask for them. But he also gives you things better than what you're asking for. Joseph wants out of that house, as he put it, out of the pit. He wants to be released, and rightly so. Who wants to be a prisoner? Yet, what the Lord has for Joseph is more than what Joseph is asking for in the text. The Lord will bless him with a blessing that is beyond anything that he would have imagined at this point. He knows the dreams that the Lord has given him. He has a vague understanding, surely, that what the Lord has given me in a dream all those years ago has to mean something, has to come to pass in some way. But surely Joseph had no idea that he was going to be Pharaoh's right-hand man. No idea. At this point, he just wants out of jail. He doesn't know he's going to get to be in a royal court. Often, we just want deliverance from our immediate circumstances. But the Lord has a royal court for you as well. An inheritance with Christ. You are brought in to his court. He has given you a seat that you don't deserve. You won't get it now. Not in fullness. Right now, we feel like we're in the pit, waiting. Another year, another 2 years, like Joseph. Who knows how many years? The Lord does. But we do not know those things. But the Lord has a purpose. Just as Joseph's imprisonment was purposeful, and the delay even highlights the glory of the Lord, as the Lord is the one taking care of Joseph all along the way. Christ's imprisonment was also purposeful. And Christ was also with two criminals. If you'll remember, Joseph was with two criminals. Christ also was with two criminals. And by all appearances, God had lost in that moment when Christ was hanging on a cross with a criminal on each side, the righteous one being condemned. This wasn't abandonment. It was the same pattern that we see throughout Scripture, that God was not arranging a release at this point, but he was arranging a throne for Christ as well. As we sang earlier of an enthroned Christ, Christ who was in a humble situation, in a condemned situation, at the right time, was exalted. So much like Joseph in our text this evening, there's a purpose behind what is taking place. And God is arranging salvation for his people through it all. And as Joseph said, "Remember me," and was forgotten, the thief on the cross said, "Remember me." And Jesus did. Just as Jesus remembers you. His steadfast love is not like the steadfast love of man, but he does not forget. Christ would say, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" So that you would not have to say that, believer. You are not forsaken, but you are remembered by your Lord. And so Joseph would wait 2 more years, but he was never forsaken by God. He was delivered by God. Do you have the same hope of deliverance this evening, believer? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Trust that your God governs your circumstances, that he is actively working. Just as Joseph was in the prison, the Lord was actively bringing these men across his path. The Lord was actively giving them, miraculously giving them dreams. The Lord was governing the revelation of those dreams, speaking through the dreams, speaking through Joseph. And the Lord governed the timing of it all. And that is the same God continuing to govern your circumstances. And he governs his revelation. He teaches to you, preaches to you from his word. His spirit is teaching you through his word. And he is teaching us that he is the one who holds all things in his hands. And he governs the timing. He is wise in working all things for the good of those whom he loves. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you give us a heart that trusts your word this evening? Would we see that you are consistent throughout your scriptures, that we could read this account in the book of Genesis and read so many others in scriptures to see that your sovereign hand is over all things and that your steadfast love never wavers, that your purposes remain even when they are a mystery to us, and that though we see dimly now, we will see clearly. Would you grant us faith in the meantime? In Christ we pray. Amen.